This is Sans, episode 31. Time to get your patchbook out. We have CVEs all over the place, and CVSS scores of anywhere from 7 to 10. WTF? The podcast is coming straight up. Hello, folks! Welcome to another edition of Sans. I'm Jared Reimer, and thank you so much for listening to today's program. So, a note for the Braille readers. I'm not going to verbally announce the numbers every time we come across them. But I have put numbers next to each item. This is because I don't have the bullets. And even though in the text you would not put a bullet next to each item when it comes up, because I don't have bullets to signify the table of contents, I put numbers, and we could put numbers next to each item, because I've seen that in lieu of chapter X. It'll just say, like, X. So, that is what we're going to do. And I think this will be better, because if the display jumps, and I know what story we're on, I could at least jump to that number, and then figure out where we left off, and continue. And it might be good for you guys, too, who use displays, because these things are just electronic, and they do wacky things sometimes. So, that's what I've done with this file. I've also continued to keep the editorial team and information on how to contact Sans on two separate pages. And so this file will be 22 pages. So, I know this is a little bit late, and my hope is to be completely caught up, or as caught up as I can be, by the time the new year comes. And while my goal is not to release every day, I will at least release one podcast per recording session at any given time. Also, I want to let you know that I have been working on figuring out the RSS portion of the RSS.com platform. And while I will mention this in a moment, I think we've got a solution in place. This podcast, number 31, will cover Sans News Bites. This is annotated news update from the leader in cybersecurity, training, certification, and research for December 12th, 2025. And some of this may be a little late, because at the time I'm recording this, it is December 20th. Yes, I know, there's still things going on, and I'm juggling everything I can, the best I can. And this is number 27, volume 27, number 90. I transcribed the file. I'm located in Woodland Hills. I am Jared Reimer, as I said. You can email me at tech@menvi.org if you want a copy. This file is being produced in eBay, the English Braille American Edition, but we can produce UEB upon request. This file is a 40-cell file, and if you need another cell length, please ask. As I just explained a little bit ago, because we don't have access to bullets, we're numbering each item within the table of contents and the file itself so you can keep track with me where we are during the reading. I think this will be beneficial, and even if I end up getting another computer and I do this work on that computer, I may bullet the table of contents just like the print, but I'll number the items in the file itself so that you have an idea of where you are. So this way you're not like searching for some random thing like CISA, which stands for the Cyber Security and Infrastructure Security Agency, and finding 5 or 10 matches because they're in a story mentioned within the text. So that's another reason why I think we should change this a little bit. You, by the way, can contact me by the aforementioned email address by email. You can send an iMessage to that email address. You may also go ahead and text or WhatsApp me at 804-442-6975. And you may go ahead and feel free to leave a message at 888-405-7524. All right, folks. The table of contents also will start on a new Braille page. And so we've done that. So here's what's in the top of the news. Item number one, CISA. Kev moves React to Shell mitigation deadline to December 12th. That's long gone now. So hopefully everybody has patched. We know it'll take time still. And so I'm not too far off. Just make sure if you haven't that you do so soon. And we'll talk about that in detail in a few minutes here. Item number two. Microsoft Patch Tuesday for December 2025 includes exploited Zero Day. And this one isn't necessarily good. Well, any Zero Day is not good, but maybe this one might top the cake. We'll see. Third, patch Fortinet, Ivanti, and SAP products for critical flaws. And if my memory serves me on this one, you're going to deal with at least 1.7 and several 9s. And finally, in top of the news, there are 4 items today for this newsletter. Adobe Security Bulletins. And this affects Reader and other products. Now, the rest of the week's news for this newsletter. And again, I start at number 1. Let me know if I should just number them in order, i.e., the rest of the week's news becomes item 5 through whatever they have. For example, instead of 1 through 7, I believe, in this case, it'll be 5 through 12. Haven't figured that out yet. Let me know what you think. For now, we're going to go back to item number 1 in this segment. And this one is Google patches another Chrome Zero Day. And while this one is only their 8th, they are very responsible about what they are doing, and they take this very seriously. They're not sitting on it like other companies may. And I use may very loosely. Item number 2. Unpatched GOGS vulnerability is being actively exploited. I've never heard of this product, but if you have, and you're in the sound of my voice, you should be at least aware of this, and we'll get to that as part of today's program. Item number 3. IBM Security Bulletins. 4. CISA and partners warn of attacks against critical infrastructure. I think CISA needs to get the government to just patch. They tell us to, but the government is not. So, take this for a grain of salt, maybe? Well, I think that's the wrong idea, but this is how I feel about it. You should pay attention to the bulletins because they do good write-ups. 5th in this section is Gartner warns CISOs to block AI browsers. Interesting discussion, I think. 6. Former Accenture senior manager allegedly lied about security control compliance. And number 7. Pierce County Library System will notify 340,000 individuals affected by April 2025 data breach. All right, folks, so that is the table of contents, and we understand that it's going into a new page. But that's the way Braille goes, and we push on. My whole goal is to not have the end of the file be at the top of a page. How Braille works itself, I can't control. But I can control the fact that the end of the file will not be at the top of a Braille page. Alright, folks, let's go ahead and start with top of the news. With item 1 in this section. CISA. Kev moves React to Shell mitigation deadline to December 12th. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, has shortened the deadline for federal executive branch civilian agencies to mitigate the React to Shell vulnerability, CVE 2025-55182. to Friday, December 12th, due to the severity of the vulnerability, CVSS 10.0. The scope of the tools used across the internet and multiple reports of exploitation. Again, I want to go back and give you the CVE, which is 2025-55182. And again, the that's the Common Vulnerability Exchange number and the Common Vulnerability Scoring System, maximum of 10 was given to this particular item. Initially, the mitigation deadline was set to be December 26th. Researchers have observed both criminal groups and state-sponsored threat actors actively exploiting the flaw. Meta React server components are estimated to be embedded in 50 million websites. Attacks have targeted organizations in North and South America, Asia, and the Middle East. CISA has asked that federal agencies check for signs of potential compromise on all internet-accessible React instances after applying mitigations. While we're podcasting this well past December 12th, those that needed to patch this, did you patch this serious vulnerability? Read both Neely's and Duke's comments. I'll let them speak for themselves here, and that link will be in the show notes for the program on our RSS feed. And I just realized that I didn't spell a word right, but that's what happens sometimes. I will let them speak for themselves in the newsletter. We all know that CVSS 10.0 is the highest you can go and basically means that they can do this without you doing a thing. That's what it means. Keep an ear out for these types of numbers because you don't want them. And even if you can't do anything about it, make sure that you are as careful as you can. That's all we can do. And by the way, did I mention that this is not going to be the only high severity CVSS on here? I think I did mention we have at least several other nines and at least one 10 in one story. You don't want nines and tens. You want seven or below. I believe seven or higher are high severity. 0 to 3 is low. 3 to 7 is medium, if I remember all of this correctly. Item number 2. Microsoft Patch Tuesday for December 2025 includes Exploited Zero Day. Microsoft's last Patch Tuesday of 2025 includes fixes for 57 CVEs across the company's products, one of which is marked Exploitation Detected. The Exploited Zero Day CVE 2025-62221 CVSS 7.8 allows an authorized attacker to locally elevate privileges to system level by exploiting a use after free flaw in Windows Cloud Files mini filter driver, a core Windows component also used by OneDrive, Google Drive, and iCloud, and possibly Dropbox. And I say this because, if I remember correctly, one of the comments was that all of the cloud services use this, and of course we know Dropbox allows you to back up stuff to the cloud. No further details about the exploitation have been provided. And that's not necessarily a good thing, because I'm curious on how this gets delivered. Web or email? Three of the flaws in the advisory are rated critical. Two allow remote code execution, RCE, in Microsoft Office due to type confusion, CVE 2025-62554, and a use after free flaw, CVE 2025-62557. And the third allows RCE in Outlook due to a use after free flaw, CVE 62557. Two vulnerabilities are marked as publicly disclosed but not known to be exploited, both allowing RCE due to improper neutralization of special elements. One in PowerShell, CVE 2025-54100, and one in GitHub Copilot for JetBrains, CVE 2025-64671. Five flaws are marked exploitation more likely, which, according to Kev Bryan, Senior Director of Threat Research across Immersive, may be because the components in question have historically been exploited in the wild or have enough technical detail on previous CVEs that it would be easier for threat actors to weaponize. The remaining flaws stem from elevation of privilege, remote code execution, information disclosure, denial of service, and spoofing. Just stop me if you've heard of all of this before. Microsoft has also released the KB5071546 Windows 10 Extended Security Update for users in the ESU program, or who run Windows 10 Enterprise LTSC. You should read what they have to write in the comments. I didn't decide to put anything in, whether my own words or otherwise. But I do know that one of these items you're going to hear about will cover a 7 and some 9s. So we're not done with the CVSS system yet. Find this podcast of interest? Well, you can visit my website and learn more about me by visiting it at jaredrimer.net. And while it's not required, there is a donations link at the bottom of the page under sites around the main domain. And you can use that to donate any amount that you wish. If you want to donate by credit card only and you don't see an amount that you want to donate, contact me and I will send you a link of the amount that you would like to. Remember that this is not a requirement, but we would appreciate it just the same. I know that lots of companies say, we want money, we want to, you know, do this with it or that with it. I don't have any real interest in forcing people to donate because I want to use it to keep the network going. There are many, many bills that can be paid with the money, and without you knowing whether they're actually telling the truth on whether they're using it for operational costs or whatnot, I don't go that route and say, we're going to use it and we're going to make sure that the money is only used to, you know, pay bills for the network. But I will say that it'll be responsibly spent. It will not just be spent on every little thing that I may need. So that's how we handle that. And we leave you to decide what amount. I recently was hearing an ad say, donate this amount because this will, you know, help the animals. Well, how do we know that they aren't putting some of that money to the CEO? Just saying. So, if you find the program of value, please feel free to send a donation if you so choose. We'll buy music with it. We'll pay our server bill with it. We'll do things responsibly network-wide. All right, folks. This seems to be patch away program. So, item 3 is patch Fortinet, Ivanti, and SAP products for critical flaws. Fortinet, Ivanti, and SAP have released security advisories for their products, each including patches for critical vulnerabilities. And this might be the story that I'm talking about. We'll just see and read together, shall we? An unauthenticated attacker can bypass FortiCloud, SSO login authentication by using a crafted SAML or SAML response message due to an improper verification of cryptographic signature vulnerability tracked as CVE 2025 59719 for 40 web and CVE 2025 59718 for Fortinet 40 OS, 40 proxy, and 40 switch manager, both carrying CVSS score 9.8. So there's our first 9. Fortinet notes that while FortiCloud SSL login is not enabled by factory default, registering the device to FortiCare from the GUI enables login via FortiCloud SSL unless the administrator disables a toggle that is on by default. Users should turn off the FortiCloud login feature and update to fixed versions indicated in the advisory. Ivanti's advisory discloses 4 flaws affecting Ivanti Endpoint Manager EPM 2024 SU4 and before, including CVE 2025-10573 CVSS score 9.6, which allows a remote unauthenticated attacker to exploit a stored cross-site scripting XSS vulnerability to exploit arbitrary JavaScript in the context of an administrator's session. That's another 9. The other 3 flaws are rated high severity and could lead to remote code execution or arbitrary files written outside the intended directory due to improper control of dynamically managed code resources, CVE 2025-13659, path traversal, CVE 2025-13661, and improper verification of cryptographic signatures, CVE 2025-13662. Beyond the update, Ivanti urges users to not expose their EPM to the internet, to only connect to trusted servers, and to only import trusted configuration files. Okay, so that's Ivanti. But that's not the end of this. I believe there may be a couple more numbers here. SAP's advisory discloses 14 vulnerabilities, 3 of which are critical, covering a variety of products. CVE 2025-42880, CVSS score 9.9, allows an unauthenticated attack to gain full control of a system by inserting malicious code when calling a remote-enabled function module in SAP Solution Manager. Alright, so there's another 9. So I believe that's 3 9s there. CVE 2025-55754 CVSS score 9.6 allows an attacker to trick an administrator into running an attacker-controlled command by manipulating the console and clipboard with anti-escape sequences injected using a specifically crafted URL due to improper neutralization of escape metal or control sequences in Apache Tomcat. CVE 2025-42928 CVSS 9.1 allows a high privileged attacker to achieve remote code execution using specially crafted input to SAP by connect due to a deserialization vulnerability. Well, actually, I think this is JConnect, not BiConnect. I believe this is SAP JConnect. Yeah, I believe it's JConnect due to serialization vulnerability. SAP recommends users visit their support portal to apply patches. And so, yes, this was the item, by the way. So we have a 7 and several 9s in this item. While the 7 is not necessarily bad, the 9s are. 9s and 10s mean they can take control without you doing anything, but maybe viewing the item in which the exploit is in, whether it be a web page, an email, or maybe messenger programs that are web-based. Neely writes, "Roll up your sleeves. There's a lot to unpack here. Beyond patching your Fortinet, Ivanti, and SAP services, you need to make sure they're properly isolated from the internet, particularly any management interfaces. Now the hard part. Make sure you are following the latest security practices, even if they haven't changed the guidance. If you are affected, I write, get to work. Even though this is late, better late than never. I tried to get these out within the week. They come to me, but between being sick in September and October and doing other things, it just isn't possible, but we're trying. And I definitely am trying to keep you as up to date as I can, whether by article or by this newsletter. So do take heart. If you use these products, you should consider updating these products. These are 7s and 9s, which are pretty critical. And as I said, I think it's 0 to 4 being low, 4 to 7 being medium, and anything higher than 7 being high, with 9s and 10s needing no help from you. Alright, folks. Item number 4 in this section of the newsletter. Adobe Security Bulletins. Adobe has released 5 security bulletins comprising 138 vulnerabilities in its products. Adobe fixed 117 flaws in Adobe Experience Manager, AEM, two of which are critical severity, both CVE 2025-64537 and CVE 2025-64539 are DOM-based cross-site scripting XSS vulnerabilities that allow an attacker to achieve arbitrary code execution and session takeover by injecting malicious scripts into a web page which executes the scripts in the browser when visited by a user. 7 of the 12 flaws fixed in Adobe Cold Fusion are rated critical and could lead to read arbitrary code execution, security feature bypass, and privileged SIC escalation. I don't know what that means. I don't know what SIC isolation is. I have never heard of this until reading this newsletter. 4 flaws were addressed in Adobe DNG software. Development kit, SDK, 3 of which are critical. An interfere overflow or wraparound CVE 2025-64783 that could lead to arbitrary code execution, and a heap-based buffer overflow CVE 2025-64784, an out-of-bounds read 2025-64893, that's the CVE number for that one, that could each lead to memory exposure. And you don't want those. The heap-based buffer overflow, and you don't want the arbitrary code execution either. I'm not too familiar with the other one here, the SIC escalation. And 4 of them were addressed in the, as I said, the aforementioned Adobe DNG software development kit, SDK. So that is that. And you don't want memory exposure, especially when that memory could have things you are doing, i.e., you know, copying a credit card number to make a purchase, for example. Which is why it's recommended to use a password manager, because then it will fill that in, because you can right-click or Shift-F10, select the manager, select Fill Form, and depending on what it sees in the form, it'll pull it right up from your profile. You know, it'll say, you know, Profile Jared Reimer, and it'll fill in whatever it needs. Name, address, credit card number, the whole bit. Okay. 2 of the 4 fixed flaws in Adobe Acrobat and Reader are critical. An untrusted search path, CVE 2025-64785, and an out-of-bounds read, 2025-64899, that's that CVE, both potentially leading to arbitrary code execution. And maybe it's a good thing I removed Adobe. Not because I don't use Acrobat, because I deal with more PDFs these days, but that is probably one reason why I got rid of it, because that program is so large these days. The single flaw addressed in the Adobe Creative Cloud desktop application is related, important, and involves creation of a temporary file in a directory with incorrect permissions, CVE 2025-64896, possibly leading to application denial of service. Alright, so that's it. In this. That's it. I write, I'm glad I'm not running Adobe products anymore. Taking tons of hard drive space, even though I need it because I deal with PDF files on a regular. But now I wonder if it is worth running such a piece of crap program, which is probably bloated with bunches of crap you don't need. Last time I actually ran the thing, you know, it wants me to sign up for, like, Adobe Cloud and this, that, and the other, and it was like a gig in space. I swear, when I get another computer, that computer is going to be my work computer, so it's going to have Braille 2000 on it, it's going to have GoldWave on it, it's going to have email, it's going to have Thunderbird and Adobe. And then this machine, until it croaks, will be the broadcasting machine. I'm probably going to end up slimming down to a laptop if everything goes well. Neely writes, first step is easy. Push updates to Acrobat, Experience Manager, DNG, SDK, and Creative Cloud Desktop. Only Mac version affected. Next, have your developers retest with the updated SDK. Now, go work the Cold Fusion update, 2025, 2023, and 2021 versions are affected. After applying the update, make sure that you review the lockdown guide. And this is one reason why I love putting the news items together, especially when they have comments, because that I would never be able to tell you on my own, because I don't know what's what, I don't know what developers need to do, I know none of it. But I know all of this, in one way or another, is bad. And that's not good. Well, folks, I hope that you are enjoying the podcast as much as I am bringing it to you. And I think one of the things that I would like to try in a different podcast would be to put each segment in its own file and merge everything into one file as I do with all of the other podcasts. I was almost going to try it with this podcast, but because I was talking mainly about file changes and then we got started, I just kept going and didn't bother with implementing it that way. And you guys, as listeners, probably would never know the difference, except that each segment would probably have a track of some sort to start its segment off. That's how you would know, unless I chose not to do it that way. But it's a thought, and it's only a minor thing. The podcast would still be one file. You'll still get the same show notes and everything else. That completes the top of the news. If you have any comments, email, iMessage, tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp, 804-442-6975. Or call the comment line and leave a message at 888-405-7524. Our own Preston Gaylor left a message on the comment line for A Day in the Life, and that's fine, too. I hope that you are enjoying the program as much as I am bringing it to you. All right, folks, so it's time now to go to the next page and talk about what is going on with the rest of the week's news. And for those who are needing to know where we are on page 10 of the Braille file, if you've requested a file. And it may be similar in UEB. I know page 9 ended that set, so there could be a few lines difference, but the page numbering should probably be about the same, give or take. If you need to know exactly where you are, you could go to the rest of the week's news and you'll be okay. Let's now talk about item number one in this section of the podcast. This is Google, and while Google's gotten some heat, they at least fixed their stuff. Google patches another, in parentheses, Chrome 0 day, and I actually ended up removing Chrome off my system because I hardly use it. I made that decision because I just hardly use it these days, and I don't want to keep something on my system that I hardly run. Google has updated the Chrome stable channel for desktop to versions 143.0.7499.109/.110 for Windows / Mac, and 143.0.7499.109 for Linux. The updated browser will roll out over the next few days and weeks. The update addresses three security issues: a medium severity use after free vulnerability in Password Manager CVE 2025-14372, a medium severity inappropriate implementation vulnerability in Toolbar CVE 2025-14373, and a high severity vulnerability that is currently undescribed and has no assigned CVE. The high severity vulnerability, which Google has designated as under coordination, is being actively exploited in the wild. Information in a GitHub commit for the associated Chromium bug ID 46619204 suggests the vulnerability may be a buffer overflow issue in the angle metal renderer. This is the 8th zero-day vulnerability Google has patched in Chrome this calendar year. At least Google is fixing them and not letting them bugs go by the wayside. Even though it's their 8th, it could be a lot worse. When it prompts you to update, please do so. Neely writes, make sure that you're implementing browser updates immediately and automatically, whether a push or pull. Then monitor to ensure the updates are applied. Don't allow indefinite postponement or solely rely on user action. These are happening too frequently for the user to stay on top of unaided. I agree with this. Let the software phone home and get its updates. You will thank us later. Dukes and Murray have comments. Read them in the newsletter linked within the show notes. Alright, number 2. Unpatched GOGS vulnerability is being actively exploited. Wiz researchers have detected an unpatched, actively exploited path traversal vulnerability in GOGS that allows unauthenticated users to overwrite files outside the repository, leading to remote code execution, RCE. The vulnerability, CVE-2025-8110, is a bypass of a vulnerability patched a year ago, CVE-2024-55947. GOGS, a self-hosted Git service, has not yet patched the vulnerability. The Wiz researcher initially detected the vulnerability on July 10th, 2025, and have identified more than 700 compromised public-facing GOGS instances. They write, all infected instances shared the same pattern. 8-character random owner/repo names created within the same short time window, July 10th. This suggests that a single actor, or perhaps a group of actors, all using the same tooling, are responsible for all infections. A second wave of attacks began in early November. Wiz recommends GOGS maintainers disable open registration if their instances do not require it, limit internet exposure by using a VPN or an IP address allow list, and look for the creation of repositories with random 8-character names or unexpected usage of the put contents API. The Wiz write-up also includes indicators of compromise. Neely writes, the issue is GOGS doesn't validate symbolic link destinations. So, you create a repository which includes a symbolic link to a file outside your repository. Then write data to that sim link, and the target file is overwritten. You're vulnerable if you're running GOGS 0.13.3 or lower, are exposed to the internet, and have open registration enabled, the default. For now, limit internet exposure access, disable open registration if possible, and look for bogus repositories. I've never used such a tool, so that's why sometimes we just put in what they have to say, because they've done the research and they know more about this than I do. Item number 3. IBM Security Bulletins. IBM has patched 19 critical flaws announced in bulletins from December 9th to December 11th, 2025, with over 150 total bulletins released in that time. The critical severity flaws affect IBM Security Guardium, IBM, Maximo application suite, IBM Insta Observability, DB2 for Linux, Unix, and Windows. IBM Storage Defender, IBM, I'm not sure if it's one, Roman numeral one, or if it's I. If anyone knows, let me know, and I'll make sure that gets corrected. And IBM Business Automation Manager Open Editions. As Security Week notes, most of, and then in brackets, the vulnerabilities, close bracket, were in third-party dependencies, including third-party components of Storage Defender's data protect Apache Tomcat server implementation by IBM Guardium data protection and the Dejano web framework within Edge Data Collector, and that's Django, I believe is what this is. Or maybe it's just Django. If you have a pronunciation of that, let me know too. I want to try and be as correct as I can. Users should check IBM's security bulletin page, which is searchable by product name and CVE. The entries can be reordered by severity. Take a look at the list if you can find it. And I just see I made another spelling error. See if you need to patch and do so would be my recommendation. Maybe Neely's comment can help here. He writes, IBM is fixing a lot here. You're going to want to leverage their service to help prioritize. Don't forget to consider anything internet facing as high priority. While there isn't a lot of attempted exploitation now, these announcements will change that quickly. Take the advice and move on. The podcast will be here when you get back. So, if you are affected, pause the podcast, go take a look, contact IBM. We'll be here when you are finished, because some of these are definitely not good, and we don't necessarily want to see you get taken advantage of, because we're letting you know of this type of thing. And that's what this podcast can do. I don't claim to know anything. I don't claim to know everything. But I will try and put these news things out for you, because sometimes it's hard to find everything. And if you don't know something's wrong, you can't take care of it. So, that's what I want to try and do. Item number 4. CISA and partners warn of attacks against critical infrastructure. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, and other cybersecurity and intelligence agencies in the U.S. and in countries around the world have published an advisory warning that several groups of Russian-backed cyber threat actors are launching attacks against critical infrastructure operators globally. The report describes tactics, techniques, and procedures, TTPs, used by the threat actors to disrupt operations at organizations in the food, water, and energy sectors. The advisory notes that these groups have limited capabilities, frequently misunderstanding the processes they aim to disrupt. Well, that's not necessarily a good thing, but you definitely have to read this all the way through. Their apparent low level of technical knowledge results in haphazard attacks where actors intend to cause physical damage but cannot accurately anticipate actual impact. Despite these limitations, the authoring organizations have observed these groups willfully cause actual harm to vulnerable critical infrastructure. The advisory recommends that operational technology, OT owners and operators take the following steps to mitigate the threats. Reduce exposure of operational technology, OT assets to the public-facing internet. adopt mature asset management processes, including mapping data flows and access points. Ensure that OT assets are using robust authentication procedures. This is beyond my pay rate. I don't understand this aspect of what we're dealing with. Dukes and Neely both comment, read them and see what you need to do. Yes, I don't get paid to do critical infrastructure work. I don't understand all of that aspect of things. And these guys teach this stuff, as well as being the editors of this very newsletter. So I will leave it in their capable hands. And I know there's at least one more item that's beyond my pay rate, too. Not that I get paid for any of this, but the aforementioned donations page that I talked about earlier, even though I may not understand it, I bet you are happy to hear me say, I don't know anything about this. Go read what the comments are saying. Then I think you should do all of this, that, or the other. There are some texts in this world that insist on giving you an answer, even though it could be completely wrong, and tell you, well, this is what I have. If you trust me, this is what you have to do. And some of it may not necessarily fix whatever the issue is. And I'm being very cautious here. I remember such a story where I helped somebody, and they told us to go on the registry and do all of this stuff, and I said, is there not a way to do this without going into the registry? Because one wrong move, and you can mess things up. And they said, "If when you have trust in us, you can call us back." I mean, they were very rude about it. It's like, but I don't know the registry. And last time I took somebody through the registry, the computer didn't boot. And I said, I'm not doing that. So my motto, even though I was helping them delete stuff that they said they removed, I won't even touch the registry. I might have broken my computer in JAWS, but that was through deleting programs and moving stuff from one drive to another. That wasn't the registry. So, that is where we are there. So, number 5. Gartner warns CISOs to block AI browsers. Gartner has published a research report available to its clients titled "Cybersecurity Must Block AI Browsers for Now," whose abstract contends that while agentic browsers may offer future potential for automation and novel interaction, CISOs must block all AI browsers in the foreseeable future to minimize risk exposure. The registrar's Simon Sharwood reports that one concern raised with AI browsers, such as Perplexity's Comet and OpenAI's ChatGPT Atlas, is the risk posed by unknown security measures in the cloud-based AI backend handling sensitive user data such as active web content, browsing history, and open tabs associated with use of an AI sidebar. Gartner's analysts recommend that organizations conduct a risk assessment of any browser's back-end AI and educate users that anything they are viewing could potentially be sent to the AI service backend to ensure they do not have highly sensitive data active on the browser tab while using the AI browser sidebar to summarize or perform other autonomous actions. The anonymous agentic capabilities of these browsers also pose unique security risks as a consequence of their own inherent vulnerabilities, such as indirect prompt injection induced rogue agent actions, inaccurate reasoning driven erroneous agent actions, and further loss and abuse of credentials if the AI browser is deceived into autonomously navigating to a phishing website. Gartner notes the utility of AI browsers for mandatory, repetitive, or less interesting tasks, which includes the possibility that employees may avoid mandatory cybersecurity training by handling it off to the browser. The report also mentions the risk of agents making unwanted purchases through internal procurement tools or filling forms with incorrect information. While Gartner offers mitigations such as denying agents access to email and restricting browser data retention settings, the research concludes that the current risks merit completely blocking AI browsers. And if you want to read what they have to say, you can, but this is interesting. I've never used their browsers. I went to ChatGPT and used it in offline mode because I don't use it enough to pay for it, and I right now don't feel like I need to sign up for it. Number six, former Accenture senior manager allegedly lied about security control compliance. A U.S. federal grand jury has indicted Danielle Hilmer on charges of government fraud, wire fraud, and obstructing federal audits for allegedly misleading government agencies about the company's compliance with federal risk and authorization management program, FedRAMP, and Department of Defense Risk Management Framework security controls. According to the Department of Justice, Hilmer is former senior manager at a Virginia-based government contractor. While the specific company is not indicated, a DOJ document, in DOJ documents, during the time period of the alleged deception, Hilmer was employed at Accenture Federal Services, which provided cloud computing services to at least half a dozen U.S. federal agencies, including the Department of State, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the Army. I write, "This is beyond my pay rate too, so I'll let Neely take care of this for us." He writes, "This is tricky. The security controls in the system security plan didn't match what was implemented as Accenture was working to uplift their FedRAMP to a high authorization and their DoD impact levels by 4 and 5. They were convincing third-party assessors that the increased levels should be granted despite observed deficiencies, which not only puts information at risk due to improperly implementing things, but improperly implemented security, but also damages the reputation of the assurance process. The good news is Accenture self-reported, and this has been resolved. The takeaway for customers is to make sure they regularly review all the assessment information provided with the FedRAMP DoD package, particularly after an upgraded assurance level is granted, to be sure things are as claimed. There are likely going to be new controls you need to implement." Well, it doesn't say what she's going to be charged with or anything else, but this is definitely an interesting story, to say the least. At least they didn't say it. Maybe it's in the article listing, which is also after each item in the newsletter. Finally, Pierce County Library System will notify 340,000 individuals affected by April 2025 data breach. The Pierce County Library System, PCLS, in Washington State has begun notifying more than 340,000 that their personal data were compromised in an April 2025 data security breach. According to PCLS's incident notice. Intruders had access to their computer network between April 15th and 21st, 2025, during which time they exfiltrated data belonging to library patrons, current and former employees, and employees' family members. And please feel free to stop me if you've heard this before. The compromised data include social security numbers, passport numbers, driver's license numbers, financial account and payment card information, and health insurance and medical information. In a filing with the Maine Attorney General's office, PCLS said they will notify affected individuals in writing. PCLS is offering affected individuals a year of credit monitoring and identity theft protection services. These services don't help you until after the damage is done, but it's better to have this than not, we always say. Comments in the newsletter from several editors. So that is going to be it. And I know that I had said at the beginning that I wasn't going to say what was first, second, or third, but I think this format actually works pretty well. And I can switch for not saying, you know, fourth or fifth or whatever, and say next like I used to do. And when I hit the final number, I can say finally. So this was more of a dry run to see how I would do with this format. And I think I did pretty well knowing exactly where I am. So I like this. As for this particular item, this is unfortunate. This should have not taken 8 months, although if they were doing an investigation and police said, you can't say anything until we're done, that's understandable, but the item doesn't say that. So I don't know why it took, you know, 8 months. The editorial board of Sans News Bites. The following is the editors listed for Sans News Bites: Brian Honan, Kurt Dukes, Chris Elge, David Holzer, Ed Scoutis, Gal Spitzner, Jake Williams, Dr. Johannes Ulrich, John Pescator, who's been speaking lately, by the way, Josh Wright, Kathy Bradford, Lance Spitzner, Lee Neely, who always has a lot to say in these things, Mark Weatherford, Moses Frost, Suzanne Vautrinot, and William Hugh Murray. Sands is located at Sands Institute, 11,200 Rockville Pike, Suite 200, North Bethesda, Maryland, 20852. If you need to contact support for newsletter website issues, email support@sands.org or call 301-654-7267 for that help. I did find a few mistakes within the Braille, but for the most part, they were words put together or a couple of spelling issues. That happens from time to time. We'll try and do better there. But I think I like the way this format is done. I can re-release the Braille if people tell me they want me to correct the Braille, and I'll make sure that that gets done and re-released. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, send me a note. Email iMessage tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. You may also call the comment line at 888-405-7524. Well, folks, I think it's time for me to wrap this program up as I continue to get better on making these files and doing the best we can on getting these news items out, because a lot of this isn't covered elsewhere, and even if it is, they may only spend a little bit on it, and I like their newsletter at Sands, and so far, while this is a brand new program as part of the network, I'm learning, you know, new things, even though I've been reading Sands for a very long time, and I am not sorry we have not done this podcast. So, we definitely want to make sure that we give you as good news coverage as we can, and we'll just have to see how things go. So, I think I'm going to go now and let you go on your way to your next podcast. And I will catch everybody on the other side on another edition of the podcast coming soon. Thanks for listening.